Pastor Shear, one of my pastors, and he certainly has ministered to me in a lot of different ways, counseling and correcting and a lot of different things. But it's always a blessing and a privilege to be here that I don't take lightly. Fortunately, I do have brown sugar with me tonight, but our brown sugar cubes, they couldn't make it out tonight, and so brown sugar cubes. Of course, that's Teresa and her three girls, Jamia, Janiyah, and Talisa. Did I get that right, baby? Jamia, my goodness, she National Honor Society. I mean, just as smart as a whip. She's always challenging me, brother, and a lot of times she wins. I don't always let her know it, but somebody got to try to keep their girl humble. But we're glad to be here. I asked our pastor a few months ago if he would have me in. I'd like to share a testimony in reference to what we've been doing primarily this last year. And also, I needed to eat. And the pastor was very accommodating. But, you know, I'm here primarily in the ministry of an evangelist because I fully understand what my ministry entails. Primarily, it's come alongside of this brother right here and to motivate, challenge, and encourage him and the body of Christ in the whole perspective of perfecting or equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And, you know, I always look for confirmation afterwards in reference to whether or not I was successful in doing that. So if I do a bad job, don't let me know. Amen. But just pray for me that I get better. Amen. You know, so anyhow, without further ado, I put together a missionary letter, a report, if you would, and very short, so if you'll take time, be patient with me as I read through this, amen? My dear pastor and family at First Bible Baptist Church, Lancaster, greeting in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as always, like our beloved Apostle Paul, when we think of you, we thank God for your fellowship with us in the gospel from the first day you began supporting us until now. We thank God for your prayers, your monthly support, your encouragement, and your love offerings. You sent love offerings on many occasions, most recently when our water pipes burst so that we could receive drinking water into our home. Thank you for that. The water pressure has never been better. Isn't that right, Imam? Praise God. We thank and praise God for all of your gifts of charity, being mindful that our Lord most often meets the needs of all of his missionaries, and all Christians are missionaries, amen, including me, to his body of believers like you. We thank God especially for his unspeakable gift, 2 Corinthians 9:15. I got to jump on this bunny trail real quick. Okay, you talk about God meeting the needs of his people through his people. I was up with Brother Jenkins before he left town, and they kind of liked me, and they had me up three times in almost 1 month. You know, I got kind of used to being up there. So we went over to the judge's house. I don't know if you know the judge or not. Well, anyhow, we went over to his house, and we were eating dinner one day, and the food was great. Only problem is I couldn't eat the meat. And she told me, how come you can't eat my meat? Well, I don't have any bottom dentures. I said, I can suck that thing dry, man, but I can't eat it. I thought you'd like that. And so anyhow, she said, well, Tony, how much do your teeth cost? I said, listen, woman, I am not going to let you help me pay for these things. So just put that out of your mind. And I got convicted sitting at the table. And I thought about it. And I said afterwards, I said, you know, listen, this is how much it costs, and, you know, if God leads you to help us out with this thing, well, praise the Lord. I'll accept whatever God does through you. And I kind of left it at that. Well, we came back another month later, and they handed me a check, and I won't tell you how much it was for. It was for teeth. I mean, it was a lot of money. And, you know, I just rejoice. First of all, I thank and I praise God for caring that much. That he didn't want me to have this Grand Canyon in my mouth anymore. But the point is this. like you. You know, God has met many of our needs through the body of Christ. And I'm eternally grateful for that. Amen. But anyway, I thought I'd just share that with you. The family is doing well in spite of and in the midst of these perilous times that we have been prophesied in the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We'll talk about that tonight. By God's grace, we haven't experienced many major illnesses, which is uncommon for us because of the asthmatic conditions of Teresa's three daughters, as well as other allergy-related illnesses. Yvonne is doing well. Her testimony is, you see the glory, but you don't know the story. You see God's work in her life and her health-wise, but you don't know the story that's behind all of that. But praise God for faithful prayer warriors. Amen. Yvonne is doing well, although because of her immune deficiency due to her heart attack and stroke in September 2013, she wisely takes social distancing more seriously than most, including me. Shame on me. Teresa is our rock, small r. Amen. She takes good care of herself holistically so that she can take good care of all of us. I'm doing well as long as I intentionally take a holistic lifestyle in reference to a spirit, soul, and body perspective. Once I get off of that train of thought, I'm pretty unbalanced. Amen. And so are you, by the way. Can I get amen? Concerning my ministry as an evangelist, the Lord has opened the door for me to encourage many pastors and their congregation from the month of May through December after losing my job due to COVID during the winter and early spring. I have done quite a few radio broadcasts to promote our God's Gladiators ministry and to give my personal testimony of my salvation. I had a chance to be with Mike Caesar. I call him my nutty buddy. Amen. On Wednesday night, and just to basically give my testimony. And I'm looking forward to the fruit that's going to come as a result of that. Amen. Folks who heard it thought it was a good program, so bless God. On such broadcasts, one such broadcast was with a conservative talk show host by the name of Bob Lonsberry. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Professed Mormon. At the conclusion of the broadcast, he asked me to preach the gospel on his show. Yes, he did. Of course, I did. Speaking from John 14:6, I had no trouble accommodating him. Praise God.
One of the largest heard radio talk show hosts in Rochester.
Well, praise the Lord. I guess he's got some shows in Syracuse. I don't know. Maybe not here, but anyhow. I call him Rush Limbaugh Jr. But anyhow, in September, I made a 6-month commitment to a young man named Gabriel Gonzalez to help him plant a church in Arundecourt, New York, right outside of the inner city of Rochester, where my heart is. Amen. The name of the church's plant is New Testament Baptist Church. Gabe was sent out with Pastor Jack Young's blessing from Lighthouse Bible Baptist Church. The work is doing well. But anyhow, I look forward to continue to update you on how the work is going and also the God's Gladiators ministry. Please pray for us. Please pray for us. I'm going to leave some prayer cards. You can pray according to list and however else God leads you to pray. But I've grown, brother, to really appreciate prayer, ministry of prayer more than anything else. Amen. I see it as our greatest need as we watch God provide through his people. Amen. All right. I want to sing a little song for you. You probably expected that, right? You know, I tell you, I would love to do O Holy Night, but I'm sure that your wife won't sing that with me. And I'm sure Edie won't. Well, I have another one for you. And this one is as we look at the time, I want to be careful. I don't want to keep you here all night. You've been here all day. I don't want to keep you here all night. But I want to sing a song that I'm sure you've probably never heard before, but it has everything to do with the message that I really feel that the Lord has led me to preach tonight. And it's called The Lily in the Valley. Amen. Now, it's not the song that you're familiar with. It goes something like this. There's a lily in the valley, and he's bright as a morning star. And there's a lily in the valley, and he's bright as a morning star. And there's a lily in the valley, bright as a morning star. Say amen, amen, amen. And there is love in the valley, bright as a morning star. And there is love in the valley, and it's bright as a morning star. And there is love in the valley, bright as a morning star. Say amen, amen, amen. And there is peace in the valley, bright as a morning star. And there is peace in the valley, bright as a morning star. And there is peace, it's in the valley, bright as a morning star. Say amen, amen, amen. And there is joy, it's in the valley, bright as a morning star. And there is joy in the valley, and it's bright as a morning star. And there is joy in the valley, bright as a morning star. Say amen, amen, amen. Here is Jesus, he's in the valley, bright as a morning star. And there is Jesus, he's in the valley, and he's bright as a morning star. And there is Jesus, he's in the valley, bright as a morning star. Say amen, amen, amen. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Want to take advantage once again of this opportunity, Lord, you've given me to come alongside this pastor, Lord, to motivate, challenge, and encourage him. And, Lord, my family here in these perilous times that we live in. Lord, as we consider our home going and how you're coming back, but, Lord, before then, your word says very clearly that we have to live through perilous times. And we're there. Lord, I've learned a long time ago that most of the time that we spend in this life is in the valley. And Lord, as the song says, there's love in the valley. There's joy and there's peace in the valley because you're in the valley. God, be with us tonight as we talk about this perilous time. And as I take advantage of this, once again, this opportunity, Lord, to come by and just comfort your people. To motivate, challenge, and encourage, and to be encouraged, because, Lord, nobody needs this message better, more than I do in these perilous times. So, Father, meet with us, I pray, today as we talk about you and why we don't have to allow our hearts to fail for the fear of the things that, Lord, are not only going to happen in this world, but are happening even now. Father, I'm 67 years old today. Been around, Lord, for quite a while. And I've never seen so much disunity, so much hatred, so much confusion, so much fear. I've never seen, dear God, I'm not surprised anymore by what might be coming next. Even though I know the scripture, I know, dear God, all the stuff is prophetical. So please, God, I pray, help me, oh God, if need be, if not for just for me, to be reminded of how you want us to respond, how you want us to live in these perilous times. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter Second Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 3. Now, I preached this message 2 weeks ago for Brother Scott Strobel over in Lockport, where I almost hit a couple of deer on the way coming in. So pray on the way home, would you please? You guys got a lot of deer around here, too. My goodness. I wish those hunters would leave those deer alone, but I guess if they didn't take care of them, then we'd be over, we'd have too many around, amen? But anyhow, I wish Yvonne would eat some of that meat. Maybe I wouldn't mind hitting one from time to time, but 2 Timothy. Brother, I got sticky fingers here, too, but anyhow. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Brethren, how many of you know that we live in those times today? Can I get an amen? Amen. If they were bad, perilous times 2,000 years ago, how much worse are they today? Amen. I mean, we're really in the thick of it. And, you know, as I had mentioned in my prayer, that I've never seen things, I mean, so many strange things happening so quickly and so frequently as I see them today. And, you know, if you're not careful, you can get overwhelmed, you know, with the things that are going on in the world. I was blessed with opportunity in a few places over the last few months to preach on anxiety and depression because God has given me a great measure over anxiety and depression in my own personal life. But there's times where I have to be careful not to get caught up in things. Amen. And be careful not to keep my eyes on the Lord. And I don't know if any of you in here are like that. Maybe this message is just for me. But as I said, once again, I'm here to come by to encourage you, to motivate you, to challenge you, because we all get affected by the things that are going on in the world today. But we can have hope as Christians, amen? And so as we look at what we should be doing, what God would have us to do in such a time as we live in, I want to share some encouraging words with you primarily from the book of Philippians. The title of our message tonight is simply, Rejoice in the Lord Always. Amen? And our text comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 23, if you'll turn there. Philippians chapter 4. We won't deviate a whole lot, but we will jump to, we will compare scripture with scripture tonight. But we'll do most of our preaching from Philippians chapter 4. And I truly believe that it's not a portion of scripture that you're not very familiar with here at this church, because I know that you're a Bible church and I know your pastor. Amen. But why don't we read this portion of scripture and then we'll expound on it a little bit tonight as time would permit. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are excuse me, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Beloved, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to rejoice in the Lord always, not only when things are going well, but also in perilous, risky, or dangerous times as well. Amen. Here's 10 reasons why and how we can rejoice according to Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 23. Now, what I had intended on doing was give you a blank sheet and let you fill in the blanks. What I'm going to do so that I can keep all your attention focused up here as opposed to the sheet of paper that I might give you is I'm going to go through these 10 things from the Word of God, and I'll give you the notes afterwards. But I want to encourage you to please, you know, because things are likely to get worse before they get better. Amen. Really take heed to the admonition that Paul gives us if you're not already doing that. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded. I've been saved a long time, well over 40 years. And if I'm not careful, I can get overwhelmed with the things that are going on in the world today. Amen? We need to rejoice in the Lord always, regardless of what's going on, because of God's presence. Look over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Amen. The Lord is present. Amen. Do I need to remind you that the Word of God says God will never leave you nor forsake you, regardless of anything? Amen. God is faithful, man. And he will not leave us or forsake us regardless of the earthquakes, regardless of the tornadoes, regardless of the volcanoes. Look with me over to Psalms chapter 46. We've got to read this. Psalms chapter 46. And when you get there, say amen. Are you with me, saints? All right. I'm stalling just a little bit, but Psalms chapter 46.
Amen.
You know, I tell you, I used to be a great Bible driller. Not anymore. It took you long enough, Edie. So rejoice, amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. God is present. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he made in the earth. Who do you think is turning the earth upside down, folks? Why do you think people are running around and staggering to and fro like a drunken man? You think that God might be sovereign over this situation? You think this is all part of God's plan as he prepares us for that wedding day? It should not be a surprise to us, amen? And so let's not act surprised. Let's remember that God is present. God is at work in the midst of our lives, in the midst of every circumstance and every situation. He's our refuge and our strength. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God, not you. I will be exalted among the heathen. Even the heathen are going to exalt me. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I will be exalted. One day I will be exalted in the earth. Folks, we don't have to sorrow as others sorrow who have no hope. Amen. As we go through these perilous times that God has prophesied for us. We don't need to get overwhelmed with fear and frustration or all the confusion that's going around us. God is in the midst. He is our refuge and strength. Stay away from the media. Stay away from the devil's lies. God is sovereign. God is in control. We can rejoice because of God's presence. We can rejoice because of God's peace. Now watch the peas, and we're going to do some alliteration tonight. 10 things. I like peas because peas pop. Amen? But anyhow, if you're taking notes, look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Well, I know this one. Be careful for nothing. Not because I live here, but I should. I should live right here all the time. Amen? Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, I'd like to walk a little bit, but for the sake of time and for the sake of COVID, I think I'll stay right up here. But anyhow, you know, I just want to bring the scripture home to you in case you need to be reminded. Don't worry. Don't fret about anything. But instead, pray about everything. Now, we've heard this before, amen? But, I mean, sometimes we get caught up in this whole concept, this whole thing of life, and we forget about verses like that, you know? And we're reminded because most of us can quote this verse verbatim. But do we live there? Be careful for nothing in the midst of these perilous times. But instead, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, instead of worry, man, pray. And use all the elements of prayer. Praise and thanksgiving. You know, count your blessings. Thank God that things are not as bad as they could be. Praise God in the midst of it all. I was just reading in Psalm 67. You know, we hear this old saying that when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Amen. Just start praising him, man. Praise him for who he is and the fact that he is sovereign, that he is in control, that he is present in the midst of everything that we go through. Because he's the same God working all things together for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And his purpose is to conform us to the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's doing that. We just don't like the process. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Talk to him about it. And reap the benefit and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, the whole world is being turned upside down. God, I've never seen things as bad as they are right now. Lord, there's so much confusion, so much division, and you know, Satan certainly seems like he's in control. All this confusion, all this fear, it's not of you. But the devil is a god of this world, small g, the prince of the power of the air. And unless we are led by the Holy Spirit, we'll be led by the unholy spirit, not just unsaved people, but saved people as well. Be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't worry about anything. It's an affront to God. Convicted. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is who he says he is. I am. And he can and will meet us at the place of every one of our needs according to his great name. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about some of those names. But let's move on. In the midst of these perilous times, we need to consider God's perspective on things. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Man, we got to think right. We got to think on these things. You know, in other words, we need to allow the word of God to do our thinking for us. Because you're going to find all these things he mentioned in this scripture in the word of God. We're going to find God's truth. We're going to find everything that God wants us to focus on. He wants us to live by his perspectives. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Why not think God's thought? Why not allow the word of God to do our thinking for us? Why not filter everything through the word of God? Now, I know that you know these things because you've been taught these things. I know that you have. I know you're pastor. But I dare say that sometimes he might need to be reminded. Come on, somebody. Amen. But anyhow, let's move on. Let's look at God's providence in verse 9. Are you with me, saints? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Pastor was talking today about being doers of the word of God. What a great message that brother preached this morning. Man, I tell you, I walked out and I was rejoicing, but I was wobbling too. He took me through the ringer. What a great message. But anyhow, those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. God's providence. God is right there in the mix with you. God's providence. His presence is there. God's providence, God's protection. He's right in the midst of the situation. Paul said this, knowing God the way he knew him, he said, listen, those things that you heard and seen, follow me as I follow Christ through the scriptures. He goes on to say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, mark those who are following me and following Christ and follow them. Listen, in the midst of these perilous times, we look, seek people out. Who's doing well? Mark them. Follow them through these perilous times. And you'll find that peace. Amen. You'll understand God's perspectives. You'll be reminded of God's presence in the midst of what we're going through. Look at verses 10 and 11. What do we see here? But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I'm 67 years old. I've been saved for a better part of 41 years. I'm still learning how to be content. Paul said, I had to learn this, man. I had to learn this through life's experiences. You talk about perilous times. You know, he spoke about the perilous times that we have to go through. Another place he spoke about the perilous times that he went through personally. And he learned something through those perilous times that he went through. He said, I learned how to be content. I've learned how to be content. Content with what? We don't want to take time, but in Hebrews chapter 13, well, we better go there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Paul tells us, and I believe Paul authored the book of Hebrews. I don't know about you, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. Looks like his hand is all over that portion of scripture. I mean, that whole chapter. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter. Okay, here we go. You ever have to do that? Pastor, read that verse for me. Hebrews, for the sake of time. Hebrews chapter. Let your conversation be, your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content. Let's rejoice in God's preeminence. Amen. He's our greatest need. He should be our greatest desire. Paul said, I have learned how to be content with Jesus. He is the source of every benefit, the source of every blessing. And he is the greatest blessing that we can have. Paul said, rejoice in the preeminence of God. I have learned. Let's move on. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said, I know how to be abased. He said, listen, I know how to live on the mountaintop. Man, and we love those mountaintop experiences. But you know what? We can't. God won't allow us to stay there because we got to go in the valley. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. He said, I know what life is like in the valley. But you know what? I don't mind the valley because it's a lily in the valley. Amen. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there's death all around us. Spiritual death, emotional death, mental death. The wages of sin is death. Spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, financial, social, relational death. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I don't have to fear any evil, for the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over because he fills me with the Spirit in the midst of the perilous times. And he makes Satan take a break. He said, come here. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. He who feeds the hungry soul, come and dine. God knows when we need a break. Some of you probably need a break tonight. If you don't, live a little longer. Got to see to it. But Paul said, I had to learn how to. He said, listen, you know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Rejoice in God's power. That's the next point. Rejoice in God's power. Realize, have we come to that place yet where we realize that without him, we can do nothing? We have no strength without him. We can't do anything for the glory of God without a life being totally dependent upon him, unless we live that branch life. A life of total dependence. Paul said, I have learned. I am determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. My strength comes from him. All power belongeth unto him. I can do nothing unless God gives me the power and the strength to do it. We can rejoice in perilous times because of God's provision. Look at verses 14 through 18. Like I said, you might not need this, but I need this encouragement, man. I want to be able to rejoice in the Lord always. Lord, are you setting me up for something? Yep. I'm rejoicing in his presence, man. I need to stay there. I want to experience a peace that passes all understanding, although all hell might be breaking loose all around me. And it is. Satan raising hell, man, on earth today. He knows his time is short. And boy, he's wearing out the saints. Rejoice in God's perspective, his pattern of thinking, God's providence, his preeminence, his power, and his provision. Lord, I might have to go on the soup line. Been there before, brother, by the way. You know, when I grew up, my mother died. You know, my mother died when I was 3 years old. And I grew up pretty much like an orphan, you know, and didn't have a whole lot. And a whole lot of people that lived around me didn't have a whole lot either. And we lived off the government. We call ourselves government issue. Come on. Do you remember that spam? Come on now. Do you remember that peanut butter? Do you remember that cheese? You remember the rolled oats? We lived off of that stuff. It wasn't quite a soup line, but I tell you what, I grew to enjoy a lot of this stuff. I really did. I tell you, don't try to eat that peanut butter without milk. You might not know about that. I don't know. They know. You know, if our government had its way, and I'm going to pick on our governor, but somebody wants us to become more dependent upon this government. There might be soup lines. We've been there before. God said, don't worry about it. He said, I'm young and old, but I've never seen. Finish that for me. The righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God is our provider. You might not have steak. But sometimes, I tell you what, a peanut butter sandwich is better than steak. Especially for me. But anyhow, let's move on. But let's read these verses. Another bunny trail. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, I can't say that about you guys, but other churches have really blessed us tremendously. But I tell you what, we'll never forget the things that God provides for us through you. We are eternally grateful that it is you. Because not only have you've given us things, but you've given us your heart time and again. But anyhow, Paul goes and said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving, receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. God is not unrighteous to forget our work and our labor of love. We minister in his name to the saints, and we continue to minister. Your labor has been a labor of love. You know, we don't take it for granted that you guys have to go to work and you have to earn money. And, you know, then you put in your offering and you're just hoping that, you know, where the money that's being spent is being used for the glory of God. Amen. We don't take that lightly. You know, and not only is that true, you know, for missionary types. And I mentioned this in our letter, that all Christians are born missionaries. And you know, a lot of folks, we look at this portion of scripture and we think, well, God is talking about ministering, talking about missionaries, and he is. But he's also talking about providing all of our needs. Whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, in the midst of perilous time, you know, rejoice in the fact that God has promised to take care of us. He can, he will, and he does. Always according to his will. God's got a prosperity doctrine. He wants us to prosper in our soul, in our spirit. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How that doesn't get any better than that? He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through Christ. But he'll meet our everyday needs if we seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. Let's rejoice in perilous times. Lest we become too spoiled and thinking, you know what, this is not what I need. God knows the things we have need of before we ask him. Isn't that true? I'm trying to encourage you tonight. I'm trying to remind you. I'm trying to encourage myself in the Lord in these perilous times that we live in. What if we do go in soup line? What if the economy crashes? And, you know, what if the Word of God is true when it says that our gold is cankered and, you know, all of that other stuff in the Word of God? And, you know, what if, you know, they do what we're looking for? Maybe you are, but I'd like to get another one, but I'm not looking for any more stimulus checks. Where are you going to get the money from? I mean, that don't get... I enjoyed that check a few months ago. I really, really did. But being the spoiled brat that I am, you begin to start counting your chickens before they hatch. What's the point? You know, if we had time, I would turn this, but Yvonne told me not to keep y'all long, so I got to be obedient to my wife.
And that
Let me take you down memory lane, Acts chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, folks. I'm just gonna paraphrase a little bit. There were difficult times that the God's people that were going through, but They experienced or practiced not communism, but communism. They had all things common. And during the rough times, you know, God's people being filled with the Spirit, they provided the things that were needed for the whole body. God was in the midst of it. You know, I remember testimonies of, you know, the media doesn't always cover this, but, you know, some of the disaster-stricken areas where people lose everything, and how if God is in the midst of their lives, they start providing for each other. All I'm saying is this. We can rejoice in that God will provide for our needs in the midst of perilous times. That God can, will, and he does, because God is able and because he loves us. Lest we become overwhelmed and overcome with grief in the midst of these perilous times. You say, well, I'm not worthy. You're right. You think I'm worthy? One thing I know, God made me worthy when he made me a child of God. I'm worthy because Christ was. And because I'm in Christ. Does that mean that I'm not going to suffer? I'll suffer persecution, but it is times where I will suffer prosecution too. What does that mean? Well, sometimes you're going to suffer for doing right. There's other times you're going to suffer for doing wrong. But God says, listen, don't worry about it. Just humble yourself. Verse 18. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I see God's pleasure here. What does he take pleasure in? When he sees his children sacrificing for themselves, for each other. Isn't that rich, Rich? When you see your children sacrificing to provide for each other. How many of you know that the Word of God says over in, I believe it's Matthew chapter 25, when you do this unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. So as we minister to one another, we're ministering to Jesus. And he's not unrighteous to forget our work and our labor of love. We minister his name to the saints and we continue to minister. Moving on. Remember God's promises? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I know oftentimes we use a portion of scripture where it talks about God opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing that you can't contain. A lot of people use that in reference to the tithe. And God did talk about that in reference to the tithe. But you know, God wants us to do more than tithing. Amen. He wants us to give. Cheerfully, realizing that, man, we can't outgive God. And God promises to supply our needs if we supply the needs of others.
Yeah. Supply chain economics.
Thank you for that, brother. And I see God's concern for his people in verses 20 through 23. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Remember, rejoice in God's people. From the pauper to the palace. God's got a big family, man. In perilous times, let me motivate you. Let me encourage you. Let me remind you. Remember God's presence, his peace, his perspectives, his providence, his preeminence, his power, his provision, his pleasure, his promises, and his people in perilous times. So that you can rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. 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 And again I say rejoice. Don't forget these prayer lists. Rejoice. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Pastor.
About 17 years ago, our family had surrendered to go to Africa as missionaries. We were in a suburb of Atlanta called Powder Springs, and I was at a mission conference. A very famous, well-to-do church. Pastor's amazing. I remember being there for a week, and I've probably said this before. The pastor said, "What one thing do you need for your ministry?" One missionary said, "We need peanut butter." I said that because of Brother Tony. The church raised enough money for an entire pallet, not a case, a pallet of peanut butter to be shipped to Brazil. That's where the missionaries were from. A pallet of peanut butter. They probably sold it on the black market and made thousands of dollars. But I said to the pastor, I said, "We need a boat." Peter said, Jesus said to Peter, "I need your boat. I need to borrow it." So we needed a boat for deputation. And this church raised enough money to get us a van. It was a used van, 171,000 miles on it. We put over 100,000 miles on it and gave it to Brother Henry Lepar so he could use. What I'm trying to say is every once in a while, whether it's a bunch of teeth or whether it's a conversion van, honestly, isn't God good? And there are moments when you just get so humbled by the unexpected. You don't know what Lewis. There are more cows in Lewis County than there are people, where Cindy came from. Tony's talking to a bunch of country bumpkins. Now, I'm not saying these people are not wealthy. I'm not saying these people are poor. Probably Tony didn't expect dentures from these people. I didn't expect a van, but God knew. God knew. And you know who benefits more than Tony's teeth? The grandchildren. The grandchildren get a chance to see Almighty God do an almighty thing. And every time Tony opens his mouth, what's he going to do now? He's going to praise Jesus for his teeth. You see how funny God is? If you do it, God doesn't get any praise. If he does it, we can't help but praise him. Tony, what did you think of all those banners as you were standing up here? I'm glad. We did too. In 2013, we started Each One Reach One as God was redirecting and retooling us as a church. Every year I've prayed and asked the Lord where he wants us to go. Of course, you have no idea what our theme is for next year, do you? You just preached it tonight. Here's my theme for next year. Perilous times shall come. We're in the midst of them, aren't we? From beginning to end, the Bible reminds us the King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. That might be a good song to end tonight. Charlene, would you jump on that piano for me? Tony. Sorry, I would have thrown it to you, but I didn't want to hurt you. What any?
I can't throw that.
The King is coming. I hope that's in our hymn book. Is it? 2, 3, 8. 2, 3, 8.